Jackson camera. We had to decorate early. And yesterday, Nan's family had their little Christmas celebration. So I left the decorators here without anything up. And I have come back. I came back yesterday afternoon, and I was just blown away. Isn't it just gorgeous? And I wanted to express our thanks and appreciation, first of all, to you for providing the poinsettias, and then to our decorators who did such a wonderful job of putting them out. Now, let's talk about some things. As you can tell, there are a few different things going on here today. If you have difficulty walking, then we encourage you to sit here on the center aisle. Normally you use over here and use the ramp. We're not using the ramp tonight. I'll get to that in a little bit. But if you do have difficulty walking, sit here. We'll probably bring communion to you. And we'll get to that when we get there anyway. The music tonight, the ushers will help you too. The music tonight starts at 6:30. And in case you want to look at it after the service, they will rebroadcast our service at noon tomorrow, and then it is available on their website, on WIS's website, until December 31st. There you go. Okay. Now, worship today has changed. Yes, Dan. The live worship is streamed on their website. It's not a performance, but yes. Yeah, I know you did. Yeah. 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 Right. Right. No, I understand. I'm just saying. But yes, the Nan fussed at me. I called it. Well, Nan fussed at me because I called it a show one time, and she. So. Yeah, well, me too, Dan. Me too. I'm with you. I'm with you. That's right. There you go. I'm with you. So, it dawned on us that this morning, with all the stuff in here, would provide us the perfect opportunity not only for the worship leaders to practice how we're going to do communion tonight, but for you too. Isn't that cool? Yeah, that's cool, especially with some of the things that you'll have to step over and things to go ahead and get some idea of where that's going to be. So, communion today is going to be done by station communion. What that means is we're going to stand still and y'all walk by us. You with me? Okay. So there will be a station here for this group. There will be a station here for this group. There will be, actually, the station for this group is going to be under the chimes. And they'll come out and go around and just come back this way. The ushers will direct you. Okay? You got that? So that's how we're going to do this morning. We'll be using the little wafers instead of the bread to facilitate all this. If you need gluten-free wafers, wherever you're sitting, make your way to one of these two stations. That one over there is not going to have gluten-free wafers, but these two will. Okay? So that's fairly clear, I hope. In addition, today's service is abbreviated because we are going to enjoy. You want to talk about this? You know more than I do. So there's a surprise later in the service. For those of you who have been dreaming of a service where I didn't preach, you got it. Santa just took names of everybody who applauded. So just follow the bulletin through and you'll figure out what to do. I did notice, actually, after the gospel, we missed something. Following the gospel, it moves immediately to the Apostles' Creed, and between that it says, we sit. Do you normally sit for the Apostles' Creed? I'd ignore that line. Keep standing, please. All right. And I think that's all I needed to say. Sarah said she didn't need to say anything, so let us prepare for our worship. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who comes to wake us from sleep, who leads us into the light of grace. Amen. Let us prepare the way of the Lord by confessing our sin against God and neighbor. Mercy, forgive us. Grant us wisdom to welcome your light and to seek the things that will endure until Christ comes again in glory. Amen. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. In Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven and all things are made new. Rejoice in this good news. Amen.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. With your abundant grace and might, free us from the sin that would obstruct your mercy, that willingly we may bear your redeeming love to all the world. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from St. Luke. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For you, Lord, have looked with favor on your lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. You, the Almighty, have done great things for me, and holy is your name. You have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. You have shown strength with your arm and scattered the proud in their conceit, casting down the mighty from their thrones and lifting up the lowly. You have filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. You have come to the aid of your servant Israel to remember the promise of mercy, the promise made to our forebears, to Abraham and his children forever. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Gathered together as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Holy God of promise, stir up in us a great anticipation for every good thing you are about to do. May our hearts leap at the grace we receive. May our lives be changed by the love you give. Teach us to recognize your Son dwelling among us. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, renew our hope. Give light in our darkness. Fill our lives and our world with your peace. The gift you send in Jesus is the perfect gift we need, O God. With angels, may we exult and give you praise and honor, not just with our words, but also with our lives. Lord, in your mercy, O God of comfort, bless the sick, those in sorrow, those who are lonely, are hungry, are poor, or forgotten. Bless all in any need, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, Prince of Peace, we know that you are Emmanuel, God with us. But so often, Lord, we aren't with you. Help us to turn our lives always toward you. May we represent the best of what it means to be your children. May we love others, care for those in need, lift up those who have been brought down, and bind up the broken. Help us to reflect your light into our world. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace. Thank you.
Let us pray. Savior of the nations, come. Make your home here in us. Feed us with your love, that our faith shine ever new, and our lives reveal your light. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new. In the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy.
Night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
You may be seated.
I'm Sue Beth Bradley, and I'm going to tell you a story about the time my mother was put in charge of the Christmas pageant at the church, and about the Herdmans. The Herdmans were absolutely the worst kids in the history of the world. They lied, they stole, they smoked cigars, they talked dirty, they hit little kids, they cussed their teachers, and they set fire to Fred Shoemaker's old broken down tool house. It was a terrific fire. Two engines, two police cars, and all the volunteer firemen. But the fire chief gave all of us kids a lecture about playing with matches. Turns out, though, the neighbors had been pestering Mr. Shoemaker to do something about the old tool house because it was about to fall down anyway, so they said a fire was really a blessing in disguise. My father said it was the only good thing the Herdmans ever did, and if they'd known it was a good thing, they would never have done it at all. I was always in the same grade with Imogene Herdman, and what I did was stay out of her way. You couldn't do it if you were very pretty, or very ugly, or very smart, or very dumb, or had anything unusual about you, like red hair or double-jointed thumbs. But if you were a medium kid like me, and you kept your mouth shut, you did okay. As far as anyone could tell, Imogene was just like the rest of the Herdmans. She never learned anything either, except dirty words and secrets about everybody. It was no good trying to get secrets on the Herdmans. Everybody knew all about the awful things they did. You couldn't even tease them about their parents and holler, "Your father's in jail," because they didn't care. Actually, they really didn't know where he was or anything about him, because the youngest Herdman, Gladys, was 2 years old, and he climbed on a railroad train and disappeared. Nobody blamed him. Ms. Herdman worked double shifts at the shoe factory, wasn't home much, so the Herdmans pretty much looked after themselves. The big ones taught the little ones everything they knew, and the proof of that was that the meanest Herdman of all was Gladys, the youngest. We figured they were headed straight for hell by way of the state penitentiary, until they got themselves mixed up with the church, with my mother, and our Christmas pageant.
Thank you.
When Miss Helen Armstrong fell and broke her leg, my mother got put in charge of the Christmas pageant. Our Christmas pageant isn't what you'd call four-star entertainment. Ms. Armstrong breaking a leg was probably the only exciting thing that ever happened to it. The script is standard. There's the inn, the stable, the shepherds, the star, and so are the costumes, and so is the casting. Primary kids are angels, intermediate kids are shepherds, big boys are wise men. Elmer Hopkins, the minister's son, has always been Joseph for as long as I can remember. And my friend, Alice Wendelken, is Mary, because she's so smart and so neat and clean, and most of all, so holy looking. All the rest of us are the angel choir, lined up according to height, because nobody can sing parts. But this year was different. My brother Charlie had told the Herdmans that there would be cake and cookies and all kind of desserts at the rehearsal, and suddenly they all wanted to be in the Christmas pageant. At the first meeting, my mother started by asking for volunteers.
All right, I know that many of you would like to be Mary in our pageant, but of course we can only have one Mary. So I'll ask the volunteers, and then we'll all decide together who should get the part. Who'd like to volunteer? Would you like to volunteer?
That was pretty safe to say, since the only person who ever raised her hand was Alice Wendelken. But Alice just stood there chewing on a piece of hair and looking at the floor, and the only person who raised her hand this time was Emma Jean Herdman.
Did you have a question in the
field? No. I want to be Mary, and Ralph wants to be Joseph.
Right?
Just stared at them. She could not believe this. What she didn't know was that Emma Jean had bullied poor Alice into letting her be Mary, and Elmer Hopkins was relieved he didn't have to be Joseph again. Last year, he had tried to pay Grady Baker 50 cents to be Joseph, and he wouldn't do it. Nobody volunteered to be wise men either, except, guess who? Leroy, Claude, and Ollie Herdman. So there was my mother, stuck with a Christmas pageant full of Herdmans in the main roles. People said it wasn't fair for a whole family who didn't even go to our church come barge in and take over the pageant. My father said somebody better lock up the Welka Silva service. My mother just said she would rather be in the hospital with Ms. Armstrong. But then the flower committee took a potted geranium to Ms. Armstrong and told her what was going on, and she nearly fell out of bed, traction bars and all. She said that if she had been up and around, the whole thing would have never happened. And that made my mother so mad, she couldn't see straight.
If she had been up and around, none of this would have happened. That woman, she must be surprised that the sun is still coming up every morning without her to supervise. Helen Armstrong is not the only woman who can run a Christmas pageant. I've made up my mind to do the best I could under the circumstances.
So Mother called the first rehearsal. Everybody shut up right away for fear of missing something the awful Herdmans might do. Leroy had already knuckled Charlie behind the ear, and one little girl yelled as Gladys went by. But Mother said she was going to ignore everything except blood. And since the little girl wasn't bleeding, and neither was Charlie, nothing happened. Even so, right away, Mother ran into trouble.
Who are the shepherds? And where'd they come from? What's the...
Inn? What is an inn?
Okay, so it's like a motel where people go to spend their minds.
People? Like Jesus?
Honestly, Jesus wasn't even born yet. It was Joseph and Mary.
Why?
What happened first? Start at the beginning.
The thing was, the Herdmans didn't know anything about the Christmas story. They knew that Christmas was Jesus' birthday, but everything else was news to them. The shepherds, the wise men, the star, the stable, the crowded inn. So Mother said she had better begin by reading the story from the Bible. This was a pain in the neck for most of us because we already knew the whole thing backward and forward.
Very nice to say Mary was pregnant.
But she was.
I'm not supposed to talk about people being pregnant. I better tell my mother.
Tell her what?
That your mother's talking about things like that in church.
I was pretty sure she would, too, because she still wanted to be Mary. But there wasn't much I could do about it but pinch Alice, which I did, and she yelped. As Mother told the story, one of the Herdmans would yell, "What's that?" whenever they didn't understand something.
You mean there wasn't any room in the inn? Not even for Jesus?
Well, now, after all, nobody knew the baby was going to turn out to be Jesus.
And you said Mary knew. Why didn't she tell them?
I would have told them. What would I have told them? What was the matter with Joseph that he didn't tell them? They're pregnant and everything.
But what was that thing they laid the baby in? A manger? Is that a bed? Why would they have a bed in a barn?
Well, that's just the point, right? They didn't have a bed in a barn, so Mary and Joseph had to use whatever there was. Well, what would you do if you had a new baby and no bed to put the baby in?
You put Gladys in the dresser drawer.
Okay, well, there you are. Didn't have a bed for Gladys, so you had to use something else. Mary and Joseph.
Oh, hold on. What about those wadded up clothes? What were they for?
The what?
You said it just a little while ago. She wrapped the baby in wadded up clothes.
Mother was in a hurry, so to finish, she said,
"Yes."
But then Alice Wendelken had to open her big mouth.
"I know what the angel said. She said his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace."
I could have hit her. And so it went, Mother telling the story and explaining it to the Herdmans. They got really interested in Herod. When Mother said that Herod planned to put the baby Jesus to death, Imogene exclaimed,
"What do you mean? He just got born and already they're out to kill him?"
I figured they were interested in Herod because they liked him. He was so mean, he could have been their ancestor, Herod Herdman. But I was wrong. They wanted somebody to be Herod so they could beat up on him. I couldn't understand the Herdmans. You would have thought the Christmas story came right out of the FBI files. They got so involved in it. They wanted a bloody end to Herod, worried about Mary having her baby in a barn, and calls the wise men a bunch of dirty spies. After she finished the story, we got through the first rehearsal. During the second rehearsal, Ms. McCarthy called the fire department because she smelled smoke in the women's washroom. It just turned out to be Imogene smoking cigars during a break in the rehearsal. But while everyone was milling about on the street, the applesauce cake that the ladies on the potluck committee had been making burned up. When Reverend Hopkins heard about the fire, he asked Mother if we should call the whole thing off.
Certainly not.
By this time, she was mad too.
It's going to be the best Christmas pageant we have ever had.
Reverend Hopkins said the whole church was in an uproar, and he didn't think anyone would come to see this pageant. Boy, was he wrong. Everybody came just to see what the Herdmans would do. The night of the pageant, there was the usual big mess all over the place. Baby angels getting poked in the eye by other baby angels' wings and grumpy shepherds tripping over their costumes. But finally, everything settled down, and at 7:30, the pageant began. When we finished singing O Little Town of Bethlehem, Ralph and Imogene were there. Only for once, they didn't come through the door pushing each other out of the way. They just stood there for a minute, as if they weren't sure they were in the right place. Because of the spotlights, I guess, and the church being full of people, they looked like those people you see on the 6 o'clock news, refugees in some strange, ugly place with all their boxes and sacks around them. But then it suddenly occurred to me that this was just the way it must have been for the real Holy Family, stuck away in a barn by people who didn't much care what happened to them. They couldn't have been very neat and tidy either, but more like this Mary and Joseph.
Burp the baby Jesus as if he had colic. And colic?
He could have. I don't know why not. Anyway, next came Gladys from behind the angel choir, pushing people out of the way and stepping on everyone's feet. Since Gladys was the only one in the pageant who had anything to say, she made the most of it.
Hey, are you child born?
Then the wise men came in. I didn't know, but whatever it was heavy because Leroy almost dropped it.
I knew this would happen. I bet it's something awful, like burnt offerings.
Well, they did burn things, but they hadn't burned this one yet. But you know what? It was a ham. And right away, I knew where it came from. My father was on the church charitable works committee. They gave away food baskets at Christmas, and this was the Herdman's food basket ham.
I bet they stole that.
The Herdmans had never before in their lives given anything away except bruises and lumps on the head, so you had to be impressed. When it was time for the wise men to leave, the Herdmans either forgot or didn't want to or something, because they didn't leave. They just stayed there. There wasn't anything anybody could do about it.
They're ruining
the whole thing.
Well, as a matter of fact, it sort of made perfect sense for the wise men to stay there. They'd traveled a long way. As for ruining the whole thing, it sort of seemed to me that the herdmans had improved it a lot just by doing what came naturally, like burping the baby, for example, or thinking a ham would make a better present than a lot of perfumed oil. You know, I almost wish for the pageant to go on with the herdmans in charge to see what else they would do that was different. Maybe the wise men would tell Mary about their problems with Herod, and she'd tell them to go back and lie their heads off. Or Joseph might go with them and get rid of Herod once and for all. I was so busy planning new ways to save the baby Jesus that I didn't notice Imogene at first, and when I did, I almost dropped my hymn book on a baby angel. Everyone had been waiting for this time for the herdmans to do something totally unexpected, and sure enough, that's what happened. Imogene Herdman was crying. In the candlelight, her face was all shiny with tears, and she didn't even bother to wipe them away. She just sat there, awful old Imogene, in her crickety veil, crying and crying and crying. I guess Christmas just came over her all at once, sort of like a case of chills and fever. And so she was crying. And that's how the herdmans first learned about Christmas. It may be hard to understand and a bit of a mystery, but it can change your heart. Well, it ended up being the best Christmas pageant we ever had. Everybody said so, but nobody seemed to know why. When it was over, people stood around in the narthex talking about it. There was something special about it, but they just couldn't quite put their finger on what it was. Now, whenever I think of the Christmas story, Mary is always going to look a lot like Imogene Herdman, and sort of nervous and bewildered, but ready to clobber anyone who lays a hand on her baby. And the wise men are always going to be Leroy and his brothers bearing ham. And I thought about the angel of the Lord, Gladys with her skinny legs and her dirty sneakers sticking out from under her robe, yelling at all of us everywhere,
"Hey, unto you a child's born!
You!"
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
I hold. Yeah, I've got to put it close. I'll put my hand.